Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host, John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. This is episode 19-34, a full episode, unlike the last couple of weeks, where we did some short shows, because there's a lot going on here in the American Redoubt. And this has been a chaotic week. Got a really busy week ahead of me as well, getting ready for the Panhandle Preparedness Expo, which I will be speaking at. And Glenn Tate, author of 299 Days, will be there. Shelby Gallagher will be there. We've got the author of Tahoma's Hammer that is going to be there. We've got Strategic Landscape Design. Is supposed to be there, last I heard. I hope so. Looking forward to seeing them. And this time, for reals, I am going to get some interviews from some of these folks on location. I have all that stuff actually in place and in order and ready to go. So I am looking forward to that. That's going to be a great event. But it's going to be a really busy week leading up to that. And, this week... This weekend, I got to hang out with a bunch of patriots, and it was just really a blessed time. It was a great event to be able to see so many folks. It was just really encouraging. It's uplifting. What do you call it? It's edifying. So many people in the patriot community, Christians in particular, just have gotten pummeled. In their personal lives or their business lives, sicknesses, illnesses, deaths in the family, things going on with careers, jobs, businesses, relationships, families, just marriages. The spiritual warfare is just, really intense, which, hey, that lets you know that you're probably on the right track, right? But it's good to be able to gather together, to strengthen each other, to just fellowship. And that's what we got to do this week and especially this weekend. And it was just really great. It was just really encouraging. So anyway, with that, this is, once again, this is episode 1934, the 34th podcast of 2019. Thank you. And if you haven't done so, please help spread the word of Radio Free Redoubt. This is the time that we're living in. The times that we're living in is really what Radio Free Redoubt and the message here is so timely and appropriate. And I've just heard from so many people recently saying, "Man, you're covering stuff that other people don't, or you just gather the stuff that I care about, things that we need to be focused on, from a Christian perspective, and from a patriot perspective, and a balanced perspective." And just so many people have been encouraged by that. If you know somebody else that might be encouraged by the message here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, please help spread the word. And we can always use your support. As we grow, so do the costs. And so, if you could just $5, $10 a month, $20, $50 a month, whatever, a gift that you can, help us out, or even a one-time gift, we're just really grateful and could really put it to good use. So thank you, folks. Now, next, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. All 10 books are out, including the audiobooks, and you'll be able to be in front of the author Glenn Tate next weekend if you're in the American Redoubt or you're willing to make the trip to the Bonner County Fairgrounds in Sandpoint, Idaho from 9 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. We're looking forward to meeting a lot of you, shaking your hands, and some of you we get to see once a year, and it's always a treat. So you'll be able to meet lots of great folks. And I look forward to always meeting you guys when we have the opportunity. So in the news from Fox News, you guys have already known, most of you have already heard right now, there was a drone attack on one of Saudi Arabia's largest oil refineries. They're saying that what they took out was 5% of the world's daily oil production through drones. So President Trump today suggested U.S. investigators had reason to believe they knew who launched the crippling attacks against a key Saudi oil facility and vowed that America was locked and loaded, depending on verification. So also, a rebel group, an Iranian-backed rebel group, is claiming responsibility. Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels have claimed responsibility for the drone assault, but the U.S. has accused Iran of launching the assault. Tehran has denied any involvement, calling the accusations maximum lies. So who's telling the truth? Who do you believe? Well, right now, Iran is just furious, stomping up and down, red in the face. Fists are clenched. It appears we've got the top Iranian officials are laying on the floor, kicking and screaming and throwing temper tantrums over these maximum lies that they did it. But in the TimesOfIsrael.com, an Iranian general says the country is ready for full-fledged war with the U.S. That's a pretty bold statement. Are you really ready for a full-fledged war with the U.S.? Well, Amir Ali Hajizadeh warns that American bases up to 2,000 kilometers away are within the range of our missiles, after Washington blamed Tehran for the Houthi attacks on Saudi oil. So they're saying 2,000 kilometers away, American bases are within the range of their missiles. So would it also stand to reason that the oil fields that were attacked are also within range of Iranian missiles or drones? Just wondering here. But a top Iranian commander warned on Sunday that Tehran was prepared for an all-out war with the United States. I think, who said that before? I think there was an Iraqi dictator who said he was prepared for an all-out war with the United States too. So we'll see how this plays out. But I would strongly recommend you top off your fuel supplies. Keep them topped off. But President Trump did today announce that he was going to open up the strategic oil reserves in the United States to help alleviate or offset any cost spikes that might result in this. So we'll continue to observe here. For us, I guess the tactical response for us is to make sure that our logistics are prepared in terms of fuel storage. So that's the only thing that we can really do about this at this time, other than maintain situational awareness. Speaking of Texas, not talking about oil here, but apparently there was a debate with the Democrats, and it was ruled that President Trump won the Democratic presidential hopeful debates, and he wasn't even there. Had both hands tied behind his back, and still won. But Beto O'Rourke, one of the candidates, and notorious dirt eater Beto O'Rourke, goes off on gun control at the debate. He says, "Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. So, very interesting. I think the rest of the Democrats are going, "Shut up, quick, stop him, cut off his mic." They're trying. The Democrats have always said, "No, we're pro Second Amendment." Hey, my grandfather used to hunt deer, I think. So, you know, we're not trying to take your guns away. Until, of course, then they get in and then they start frothing at the mouth and start determining what firearms you need or don't need to adequately defend your country and your community and your family. In a day and age when we're increasingly in need of battle rifles for response to the growing threats, because we've degraded ourselves morally, a free and armed nation that turns its back on God, and the natural consequences are, well, you're going to have people doing evil things with tools of freedom. So those of us who have committed no crimes or have any propensity to commit any crimes should not suffer the consequences of those who do commit crimes. In fact, not only that, we should be armed if now, if not in any other time than now, because of the day and age that we're living in. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that because it ties right in with the message. I want to pick up where we left off here in segment two. Pick up where we left off yesterday. We didn't quite get the opportunity to get to the article from the American Thinker that posed the supposition that whether Trump gets elected or not, there will be blood. So we're going to talk about that and what that might mean. So let's move on with the news. From the "could you be any more dense, I don't think so" category of the news, out of the UK, the top anti-terror chief, which I think needs to resign, blames press coverage for the increased jihad terror. That's right. This just came out a couple of days ago, Friday, in fact, and this was from Jihad Watch. The Assistant Commissioner Neil Basu of the Metropolitan Police Force said that the relentless reporting on extremist attacks, could be promoting terrorism. Speaking at a counterterrorism conference in Israel, oh, great. There's a violation of the number one rule in public speaking. That is, know your audience, right? So he goes to Israel, where they endure daily terrorist attacks. They're surrounded on all sides by Muslims that want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And he's there giving a speech telling them in Israel that these jihadi attacks could be from the relentless reporting on the extremist attacks. So in other words, if we just stop talking about it, and whenever somebody gets their head cut off on the street, somebody's stabbed to death, somebody says Allahu Akbar and kills a bunch of people on the street, if we just don't report on it, maybe it'll go away. Wow. So covering up the deeds of the jihadists and Islamic supremacists merely aids them by allowing them to operate covertly. Covering up the truth also obscures the accountability of ineffectual leaders such as Neil Basu, which is likely the reason that he does not want press coverage of jihad activity. Good point. The next one. Also from Jihad Watch, New York City ISIS sniper lives by Sharia. He doesn't believe he has any obligation to abide by the American legal system. Once again, it's another reason. And, you know, just reporting these stories here makes you a Islamophobe. I love that word, Islamophobe. They're great at making up words, the Marxists, aren't they? Well, this is what Ruslan Maratovich's Asenov's own lawyer said. Quote, he's converted to Islam. He lives by Sharia law. He doesn't believe he has any obligation to abide by the legal American legal system. What does Sharia say for murder? Shouldn't he be beheaded? I mean, if he wants to live by Sharia law, then maybe we should do just like Saul Alinsky says, force the adversary to abide by his own rules. Well, Sharia, the law of Sharia says that if you murder, oh wait, there's a hook. If you murder non-Muslims, it's okay. Well, we have a clash here. We have a cultural clash. We have a legal clash. And once again, Islam is not a religion. It is a total world system consisting of economic, political, military, and religious and cultural components. It's a total system. And it is adversarial toward the American total system of Americanism. But anyway, well, let's just move along. More insanity in the news. This is from the teaparty.org, their website. Originally came from Big League Politics. And have I been saying this or what? This is what's coming. They're going to try to normalize this. The push by mainstream media and leftist academics to normalize pedophilia as an acceptable sexual identity appears to be reaching a new level of intensity, as an American student shared a PowerPoint slide from a college class describing pedophilia in strikingly ambiguous terms on Friday. So this student identifying as a Catholic of San Diego, a student in San Diego, posted evidence, or it says of San Diego, so he's from San Diego, posted evidence of the sick propaganda on his Twitter account, specifying that the lesson, quote unquote, took place at a state university. While it's unclear exactly where he's a student, the major state university in his city is San Diego State University. So there's no indication whether or not he attends that university. But he says that an actual topic we discussed in class today at a state university after watching an 8-minute Vice News video showcasing self-identified pedophiles now is going to be mainstream. So pedophilia is now a gender identity. It is one of the ways. Just like the advancement of aggressive militant homosexuality, when people were warning, this is going to be an aggressive campaign to force the acceptance. Oh no, that's preposterous. You're a homophobe. So I guess now if you speak out against pedophilia being normalized, now we're going to be pedophobes. Is that what's coming next? Are we going to be pedophobes? You pedophobes. Just trying to stop adults having consensual relationships with a child. If the child's old enough to give consent, then it shouldn't be wrong. I mean, this is the kind of garbage that's coming. All right, from Como News out of Seattle. So this shouldn't surprise you. Como rhymes with something I can't think of. I can't think of right now. But Como News is saying they got this article here. Spying claims spurs to call for Washington lawmakers' ouster. Of course, it's another hit piece against Representative Matt Shea. They're just dogpiling onto this from Como News. Como, yes, it rhymes with the FBI, Como, right? No, the governor of New York, Como. But the article is, you know, fine, same typical fashion for their smear campaigns that they're on. But they drag the American redoubt into this. So listen to this. It also said in its Hate Watch publication, talking about the SPLC, the shamed SPLC, the beleaguered, bogged down in investigations and what else? Slander. Is it slander or libel? Slander lawsuits, just a bunch of controversy and turmoil within that failed organization. But anyway, it's Hate Watch publication. So that Shea is a celebrity within the anti-government inspired American Redoubt movement. Fail. They just lost all credibility right there. The American Redoubt movement is anything but anti-government. And the American Redoubt movement was never inspired by any type of anti-government sentiment. It is inspired by mostly Christian patriots who see where our country is headed. They feel like they are living in in areas, regions that are hostile toward them, who hold conservative beliefs, and they want to strategically relocate to where there is some semblance, although there's still a fight here in the American Redoubt for our freedom and liberty, and there's the same fights that there are across the rest of the country, but fortunately still the conservatives heavily outnumber the Marxist leftist globalists. So that's why they move here. They want government. They want government. Matter of fact, many people who strategically relocate to the American Redoubt get involved, politically engaged. They run for various political offices, or they support those who are running for offices, and they want responsible government to follow the law of the land, the Constitution, of the states, and the federal Constitution. And very, very much for responsible government. In fact, the type of government that's outlined in the Bible, where you're supposed to defend and uphold the righteous, and you're supposed to go after, persecute, prosecute the wicked. You're supposed to judge righteously and judge, in fact, in the fear of the Lord. As if the judges will themselves be judged one day by God. Don't take bribes. Be fair. Don't give partiality. Don't use unfair weights and measures, which is an abomination to the Lord. In other words, be just and be fair. And that's the kind of government that we want, that's responsible with the money that we give them through our taxes, When they say we are charging you 15 cents per gallon so that we can apply that toward roads, that you actually apply it toward roads and not homosexual curriculum for the schools. And we want to hold people accountable. And that is not anti-government. That is pro-government, pro-responsible, constitutional, lawful, just, and righteous governance, which we're all for. So anyway, they go on to the American Redoubt movement created by survivalist James Wesley Rawls. Actually, he didn't even create it. He just threw it out there and said, I propose we call it the American Redoubt. And well, it stuck and people have run with it. But anyway, it's interesting too, in this article, Shea is popular in his district and was reelected last year with 58% of the vote by residents who reject what they feel are efforts by liberals in Seattle who control the state to control the state. I'm surprised they put this in here. I'm surprised they put this next thing in here. They actually talked to one of his backers, Glenn Proles, which I don't know who that is. It doesn't go into any more detail. Just somebody from Representative Shea's legislative district, who said he isn't bothered by the surveillance allegations involving Shea. Proles, 63 and retired, said he has known shady people during his lifetime and that he assumes Shea has as well. That doesn't make Shea unfit for office, Proles said, adding that Shea has won his repeated terms because he's an effective lawmaker who represents his district. Boom. Bingo. Right there. Nailed it. I'm really surprised that Como News put this in here. And finally, from Redoubt News, the Second Amendment goes to the ballot box in Montana. What? We're going to vote on the Second Amendment? That's in the Constitution, right? Well, yeah, a lot of things are in the Constitution. But listen to this. The battle began in Missoula. Remember, this is from Redoubt News. Go to redoubtnews.com. They got several other great articles out there, but I just selected this one. This is from the American Redoubt, actually in Montana. So the battle began in Missoula, Montana. Missoula, if you don't know it, is a liberal leftist Marxist stronghold. So this is back in 2016. Moms Demand Action, leftist anti-gun group, paid for by George Soros and other anti-gun extremists, called for a Missoula ordinance against guns. Missoula city officials agreed and passed an ordinance requiring background checks, making an egregious violation on the rights of citizens. The city of Missoula passed the ordinance that requires all transfers of weapons within the city limits to undergo a full, extensive background check on both the purchaser and the seller. Calls were immediately made from across the state to repeal the new ordinance. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox, after several months of political pondering, issued a legal opinion against the ordinance, therefore striking it down. While City of Missoula Attorney Jim Nugent, assisted by 8 attorneys and 9 professional staff members, took this fight to district court. The district court judge ruled in favor of the City of Missoula, prompting an appeal to the Montana Supreme Court by Attorney General Fox. Now, that case is still pending. So the 66th legislative session in Montana pushed forward on 2 different bills to halt this attack on the Second Amendment. The first bill, as expected, sailed through both Republican majority houses on a party line vote. The bill would further codify Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution. And even though the legislation passed both houses, Montana Governor Steve Bullock vetoed the bill. So this fight is still ongoing. You can read the rest of that article over there at redoubtnews.com. But yes, the American Redoubt is patriot territory. But you have the leftist Marxists who have taken over the urban and built up urbanized areas, even in the American Redoubt, where they have the numbers and they are electing fools that do this kind of stuff. So the fight is on. This is what we say. When you come to the American Redoubt, don't check out. Yes, it does. It smells free. It feels free. It is more free. But it is carpet that is about ready to get yanked out from under us if we are not willing to double down and get involved and stop being patriotic, but become patriots. Patriotic is an emotion. Patriot and patriotism is action. Okay, and if you don't take action that at minimum matches the Marxist and globalist efforts, you're going to have that carpet pulled right up from under you. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't forget to hang out at the end of the show. Liberty State Radio episode 5 is, or volume 5, version 5, number 5. The 5th podcast of Lady Liberty at Liberty State Radio will be airing right after this, and well, right after Alerts USA, which also airs at the end of the show. And then, of course, on to our old-time radio. I was a communist for the FBI, the old-time radio show. And what else we got here? Alerts USA, about your 90-second teaser for this week's summary intelligence briefing. And then segment 2 when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, September 14th, 2019. This week in security news, most important for this update. Last week, Alert USA warned subscribers of rumblings or chatter on social media platforms frequently used by jihadists that a new message from Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri was forthcoming. On Tuesday of this week, subscribers were notified of a formal statement by Al-Qaeda's media arm, As-Sahab, that the Zawahiri message would soon be released. Within hours, a new 33-minute-long video statement entitled, "And They Shall Continue to Fight You," was uploaded to dozens of cloud file storage sites, with access links published to dozens of channels on the encrypted social media platform known as Telegram. In the video, following a standard greeting to Muslims worldwide, Zawahiri jumps right in, saying 18 years have passed since he, quote, "blessed raids in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania." He then calls out the U.S. and President Trump, saying that with each passing day, America exposes more of its Zionist crusader materialistic enmity towards Islam and Muslims. Trump followed his announcement of shifting the American embassy to Jerusalem with recognition of the occupied Golan Heights as part of Israel, revealing thereby America's true face and its deeply inimical disposition vis-a-vis the Muslim world. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, September 14th, 2019.
One podcast dares to be different.
This This is segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle. If that's where you are looking to strategically relocate to, check them out. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website to learn more about their listings or how they can help you find the property that's right for you. All right. Once again, next weekend is the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. It's from 9 to 5, both days, Saturday and Sunday. And, Ranger Rick will also be speaking along with a lineup of a lot more great speakers. That's September 21st and 22nd from 9 to 5 p.m. at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Should be easy. Just put that in your GPS and it'll take you right to it. Now, yesterday, on KTW, the ACN affiliate show, from 9 to 9:30 a.m. every week, which is also uploaded. We did the show, but we started and we mentioned and started to go toward this article from The American Thinker. It's titled, "No Matter Who Wins in 2020, There Will Be Blood." So I want to share this with you. And I think this is an accurate assessment. I know a lot of us have been talking that basically it comes down to this. As we had a lot of discussions about this over the last couple of days with some patriots, a large group of patriots. And really, this is what it comes down to. If President Trump wins, the leftists' heads are going to explode. And I think that they're just going to ramp things all the way up and say, it's time to get this revolution started, comrades. And I think that a lot of people are going to continue to be hurt. I think what we saw with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the execution of police officers in their cars where they're sitting there eating lunch, running down people that they perceive as against them or don't see the world the same as them. If you are conservative or a Trump supporter or whatever, they're going to beat you. I think that you're going to start seeing an increase in fatalities with this. And so if President Trump loses the presidential election, which I don't think he will, if he does not win, then I believe the left is going to be so empowered that they are not going to hold back at all. I think they're going to make good on their projections and what the dirt eater, Beto O'Rourke, actually said. We're going to come for the guns. We're going to take them. We're just going to go straight out and take them. Now, I think probably somebody in the White House is going to go, sir, we need to have a talk because that direct approach is going to, result in, some serious blowback. No pun intended. But in either case, I think that we're so polarized now. We're so divided. I think beyond repair, and lines are clearly drawn. Not one side is not going to convince the other now. I don't think the conservatives are going to make a compelling argument to make the Marxists go, yeah, you're right. I guess you're right. Let's all hug and let's all come back together. Now, would I like to see that in the United States reunify under American principles and ideals? Yes, of course. But those ideas, the leftists and the anti-Americans, the God-haters and the America-haters, they're at war, and they're pretty resolute. They're not going to win us over. We're not going to compromise on where we stand. The patriots are not, anyway. We see a lot of ground in the middle. It's widening, actually. There's a lot more compromise happening, mostly on those who claim to be conservatives or claim to be patriotic. They are the ones who are actually compromising, which is why we're in the situation that we're in today. But the machinations of an illiberal left on display in its ever-increasing violence, accompanied by the ululations of a propagandist media in contravention of an imaginary quote-unquote white supremacist right, have riven the nation into diametrically opposed camps. The right will never accept socialism, while the left will accept nothing less. So let's look at the two. And this is the article from American Thinker. which we're going to link out. It's also in, I mentioned it yesterday, where you can just do an internet search, American Thinker. No matter who wins in 2020, there will be blood. And that'll take you right to this article. And they get full credit for this. I want you guys to go there and, you know, read it there. So let's look at Trump wins scenario. Those on the left will not allow a Trump victory, even should he win the popular vote and the Electoral College. They are used to getting what they want and, like spoiled brats, have learned that tantrums work. Should Donald Trump prevail in his bid for a second term, the left will go insane, deploying every quote-unquote insurance policy weapon at their disposal to negate four more years of the orange man. What the previous president, who will not be named, and Comey and Brennan and the rest of them did to Trump in his first term will seem mild in comparison to what the left is planning should he win. Antifa, the military arm of the Democrat Party, I have to correct it, he wrote Democratic. The Democrat Party has not spent the last 3 years practicing and organizing merely to sit on the sidelines. They have used the interregnum to mobilize and learn tactics while probing to find out what government will allow, media will trumpet, and the public will endure. The skirling resistance, quote-unquote, has morphed from pajama boy blobs of perpetually offended little dictators and pink hat sporting shriekers into balaclava wearing Avengers who crave the opportunity to put deplorables in their place and give them the government they deserve good and hard. They will flood to the streets after a Trump victory in the Antifa costumes, looking to bust the heads of anyone near enough to become part of their 15 minutes of YouTube fame. It will start in the cities, the Democrat-run cities, of course, where the political leadership will provide them a measure of protection against identification and arrest. Seattle, Portland, L.A., San Francisco, New York City, Chicago, Atlanta, Boston, and Baltimore, among others, will become flashpoints of unrest. Now, there's more. I want you guys to go and read the article for yourselves, but let's move on to the next section. Trump loses. The right will never believe the Democrats didn't cheat their way to victory. And of course, if they do achieve victory, they will cheat because they've been caught so many times doing it, with dead people voting and live people voting multiple times and illegal aliens voting as well. They do cheat. In addition to understanding that a Democrat president will undemocratically implement policies by executive order that are inimical to their interests and desires, many on the right are weary of leaders who prioritize good press over good policy and who prefer losing gracefully over winning ugly. They believe they did build that and they have not yet made enough money and are fed up with being portrayed as ignorant and evil just because of political disagreements. 8 years of the previous president who will not be named and 3 years of watching his slow motion coup have made them angry. Tone deaf to this silent majority, emboldened by victory, the new president will borrow the previous president, whose name will not be named, pen and phone, and start issuing executive orders throwing open our borders, banning fossil fuels, and of course implementing common sense gun control. Buoyed by the media, the new president will start with universal background checks and a gun registry. And I think actually what it will do is they will radically advance the red flag laws, which I think that will be the flashpoint where somebody's going to decide they're not going to play along with the new red flag laws. The red flag laws are that. They are a red flag to patriots. That's my commentary, throwing that in there. So eventually that president will overreach, signing an order for gun confiscation, euphemistically called mandatory buybacks. Antifa and their ilk will flood the streets in support of seizing these weapons of war. Media will declare it's the will of the people. And for the right, that will be the last straw. So it goes on to say that the previous president, who will not be named, for once in the dismal history of his efforts to kill the America we love, will be proven correct. Americans do cling to their guns. The media will call it white supremacy. And that's what they're actually doing now. If you're pro-gun, it's white supremacy. But a still unregulated internet will be rife with videos of an out-of-control government battling its own citizens. The president will call for mobilizing the National Guard. Some governors will refuse. Army units now overseas will be sent home to deal with the growing unrest. Mistakes will be made, and there will be gunfire in the streets. People will die on both sides. The president will desperately call for martial law. Many Army, National Guard, and police will defect or desert or simply refuse orders. What will happen after that is anybody's guess. So that's one. This is William Jensert, and this was at the American Thinker. This one person's view on how this could go down. And before we take a break, I want to go back to this, what the dirt eater, Beto O'Rourke, said about, yes, we're going to take your AR-15s. If a weapon was designed to kill people on the battlefield, we're going to buy it back. So this statement was made after this American Thinker article came out. So it's pretty insightful, and it's right in line with a lot of discussions that have been taking place across the Patriot community about the way things are headed. Not where we want them to go, not where we are planning to take things, but what is going to be thrust upon us to deal with whether we want to or not. And discussions are taking place. What do we do if this happens? Is there a peaceful solution? You know, how do we get out of this? Well, looking at history, it doesn't look good. So, you know, this is the stuff that people are talking about right now. Anyway, segment three. When we come back, we're going to talk about seditious conspiracy. We're going to talk about sedition and treason. I'm not sure. What do you guys call it? When we come back, we're going to talk about a professor who says, I am Antifa, with claims to kill Christians. Segment three, right after this, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner. Welcome back to segment three here tonight at Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. This is the heart of the American Redoubt, and we are just blessed to be here. And I know there are a lot of other pockets of freedom-loving patriots that are strongly holding the territory. There are other Free Zones. We get it, but we're connected. Right. And even if you have to retreat to the free zones to get out of the occupied territory, there are a lot of free zones. So make your way to one while you still have the opportunity to. We favor the American Redoubt, the states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Oregon and Eastern well, formerly known as Eastern Washington, it is Liberty State. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. They offer remote consulting services so that they can assist you anywhere in the United States with planning your property in a way that integrates the key elements of water, food, energy, and security. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com or meet them in person next week at the Patriot or the Panhandle, Patriot Panhandle, the Panhandle Patriot. Make a good, that'd make a great little newsletter, newspaper, the Panhandle Patriot. I like the sound of that. But anyway, the Panhandle Preparedness Expo next weekend. Okay, this week, an article came out. Oh, no, it didn't come out this week. I just came across it this week. It was actually published on August 23rd, so almost, well, a little over 3 weeks ago, at lawenforcementtoday.com. There is a professor who openly boasts, and makes no bones about it, quote, "I am Antifa," and he talks about attacking President Trump and killing Christians. Jeff Klinsman, a Kirkwood College adjunct English professor, has gone on the record to confirm that he is Antifa. And then, of course, they go on to explain what Antifa is. They claim to support freedom of speech while violently shutting down the speech of those with whom they disagree. These individuals will agitate and instigate in hopes of throwing punches, swinging bats, hammers, crowbars, and so on. The Washington Times calls Antifa a group that has been behind multiple violent protests nationwide, saying that they are focused on physically fighting far-right and white supremacist groups. Of course, everybody's a white supremacist who is not one of them. You know, even as they're beating a homosexual Asian freelance journalist, calling him a white supremacist because he's conservative, politically conservative. Anyway, so this professor of one of our institutions of higher indoctrination tells a TV station investigation team, "I affirm that I am Antifa." So he didn't want to take part in an interview, citing safety concerns, but said in an email he makes no apology for what he posted online. What did he post online? Well, he posted on social media, and it drew complaints toward the Kirkwood Community College. Why this guy's still working there, I have no idea. This is in Iowa. A quick view of the Iowa Antifa Facebook page details many far-left statements, conversations, and photos. One of them features a tweet from President Trump calling the group radical left whack jobs who go around hitting people over the heads with baseball bats. The professor wrote in response, "Yeah, I know who I'd clock with a bat." The Secret Service says that they are aware of the post, but would not confirm if they are investigating it as to a threat to the president. So an attorney from Cedar Rapids, Sarah Riley, said that while what Klinsman posted may suggest an act of violence against the president, she does not expect him to be charged. Of course not, because he's a professor, right? So, but his Facebook page shows that over the years, he's also made statements expressing his desire to stop, quote unquote, stop evangelical Christians, where he included a poem. And this is what he included in this poem on his post: "Kill them all and bury them deep in the ground. This is what's coming, patriots." So when we see this type of rhetoric and we see actual violence, not somebody blowing off steam, not somebody having a moment of emotional frustration. These are plans. These are actions that are taken, that are carried out, and they're projecting where they plan on going with this. You have to take them seriously. This is not the time for law-abiding, patriotic citizens to give up the means of self-defense at all. Especially when you've got Redneck Revolt and others, the Socialist Gun Club of America, that are actually training in tactics now, and their manuals contain instructions from prior communist revolutionaries in South America on how to carry out guerrilla warfare. That's where these are going. This is where this is headed. So patriots who are taking measures to defend themselves and their families and actually training themselves because they see what's coming are not trying to start something. This is exactly what's happening in South America right now. They're saying, we are coming to kill all of you Christian white people. So the groups like Sightlanders and other preparedness groups are beginning to train in self-defense. And then they point to them and say, oh, look, you guys are training for a civil war. You're preparing for a civil war, a Christian holy war. Sound familiar? So he says, and he explained, it's not pretty and I'm not proud, but seeing what evangelical Christians are doing to this county and its people fills me with rage and a desire to exact revenge. as at the utmost contempt for those Christian faith, with the those of the Christian faith. The investigative team also shared posts between Professor and Pastor Dave Doyle of Hope Christian Fellowship of Cedar Rapids. Doyle thinks Klinsmen should be removed from the classroom immediately. You think? So this is the kind of stuff that's going on out there. And we're not, and all we're seeing is this escalate. So even some of the students had a lot of things to say about in this article. You guys can read it for yourself. But they said it's unfathomable that a state-funded community college would continue to employ someone who readily admits to being a member of a group that encourages and practices violence against those with whom they disagree. And not just whom those whom they disagree, which I'm going to talk about in segment four, as far as this dialectic, this Marxist, Fabian socialist advancement that's taking place, where right is wrong, wrong is right, right is, there is no right or wrong. As they're beating an Asian to a bloody pulp, they're calling him a white supremacist. And that's how they, and of course, you know, they say that they're, you know, pro-homosexual. Anybody who's against LGBT, they want to beat him to a bloody pulp. But then they find a homosexual guy who voted for Trump and they want to beat him and call him a racist, an Asian guy. So there is no solid standard that you can say, okay, I will adopt your mind, your mindset, your set of values. What are they? There aren't any. They're continuously, it's just a spirit of rebellion. This is demonically influenced rebellion. That's the spirit of rebellion that we're seeing in our country. It's a rebelliousness against God. And of course they can't reach him, so they go after his people. Or pretty much just anybody and everybody who's not wearing a balaclava. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. Now you have a professor, and this is not the first professor who's called for violence. This is terrorism. This is by the textbook definition, this is terrorism. And this current administration is contemplating whether or not, and considering and discussing and pondering whether or not to call them a terrorist organization, where they clearly meet the exact definition of terrorist. And they actually are also breaking the law, Title 18, Code 2384, which covers seditious conspiracy, where if two or more persons in any state, territory, or place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, which is what Marxism is doing, especially the communist revolutionaries, and these guys are working in concert together, they're conspiring together to destroy the United States and our governmental system and replace it with a Marxist system. They want to remove the republic. They want to change it to another system other than a republic, which is guaranteed in the Constitution. To advance any other governmental system is unlawful. So when you conspire to do it, and it says, or to levy war, to overthrow, put down, destroy by force or levy war against them or to oppose by force the authority thereof or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States or by force to seize, take, possess any property of the United States contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. It's a felony. And this is what's going on. It is clear subversion. Subversion against our system. The seditious conspiracy. So, FBI. Well, you've got these smear campaigns and those useful idiots duped into, look at the Patriots. Look at them. They're planning for war. They're trying to start a holy war because Christians are arming themselves when they see writing on the wall by leftist, Marxist, godless, anti-Christian revolutionaries saying, we want to kill Christians and we want to kill Trump. We want to overthrow this system. When we begin to take note of that and start discussing probable courses of action and start to train to defend ourselves and our nation, we are not the domestic terrorists. That's the narrative. Look at the real terrorists. Their own words. Not something taken out of context. Not something that was skewed or half-truths or misquoted, partial quotes or whatever to deliberately mislead somebody to look at a conservative, patriotic American citizen and say, oh, that could be a domestic homeland terror threat, when you have real, by definition, terrorists who are planning the destruction of our republic and the murdering of other people, Christians particularly, or anybody that voted for Trump. Those are the ones you need to be looking at. That's what we're asking you to do, to do your job and look at the real enemy. We'll be right back with segment four right after this.
Forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt. This is segment four, which is brought to you by Works Holsters. Works LLC, that's WERKZ.com for your custom Kydex holster needs, your holsters and magazine carriers. And those products are all made right here in the American Redoubt, and they offer a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Okay, in this last segment, I want to share with you something from a listener who shares a lot of things, and it has impacted the way I think about things. And it really, very educated, very articulate, and observes a lot of things in cultural, political happenings in our country, and the implications of those things. And this one he sent this week, and I wanted to share with you guys because it really ties in with some of the stuff that we're talking about. So thank you for sending this in. He's in Tennessee, and usually sends me one or two things a week, which I always appreciate. And I get a lot of stuff from listeners, and I don't have time to go through most of it, but I really do my level best to try to go through the things that relevant material that listeners send. And occasionally, I try to work it into the show when I can, or when it fits the topic, or if I'm able to. And in this case, it does. So let me just read this to you. I just completed reading By the People by Charles Murray, which came out in 2015. And that's on my list. I want to get that book. I've heard that mentioned a few times. By the People. So Charles Murray, I'll put that on my list. The premise is that the administrative state, by its systematically corrupting and expansive nature, has reduced our society to a state that is indistinguishable from lawlessness, a state that cannot be corrected by the political process. He then argues for and describes a program of systematic and widespread civil disobedience. Two closing quotes I thought you might enjoy. Here's the first one. No other country throughout the history of the world began its existence with a charter focused on limiting the power of government and maximizing the freedom of its individual citizens. Second one. America can cease to be the wealthiest nation on earth and remain America. It can cease to be the most powerful nation on earth and remain America. It cannot cease to be the land of the free and remain America. I am not frightened by the prospective loss of America's grandeur. I'm frightened by how close we are to losing America's soul, which is right in line with what I've been saying for over 8 years now. Some of the data that he presented in this book, through the founding of the country to the mid-19th century, there were less than a score of federal crimes, treason, bribery, defined, and that virtually all crimes were defined and prosecuted by the individual states. By the end of World War I, the number of federal crimes defined had risen to the 500s. As of 2007, there are 4,450 federal crimes defined, more than half of those since 1980. In 1964, the percentage of respondents polled who agreed with the statement that the government almost always or most always does the right thing was 76%. As of 2014, the percentage was 13%. Just to recap that, in case you were drifting off, in 1964, 76% of the people said the government almost always or most always does the right thing. Now, just 5 years ago, 2014, that same poll resulted in a 13% of the people, their sentiment was that the government does the right thing. The federal budget in 1960 was $679 billion. It was $3.4 trillion in 2012, expressed in constant 2010 dollars. So before you start thinking, yeah, but the dollar was worth more and we had different... No, this is the 2010 dollars. The Code of Federal Regulations grew from 22,877 pages in 1960 to 174,545 pages in 2012. The number of independent federal agencies grew from 13 to 70. Government spending at all levels now constitutes 40% of our GDP, 24% by the federal government alone. He also described that until the 1970s, for the most part, private business only had to concern itself with competing in the marketplace. After the 1970s, it had to concern itself with fending off government interference, hence the meteoric rise of lobbying. And then it goes on to describe how businesses that, even then, only needed to concern itself with providing campaign contributions to individual politicians, now must contend with entire government agencies that are actively extorting money from it in order to fund their operations. So thank you very much for that excellent book review of By the People by Charles Murray that came out in 2015. And so I want to close with this. I want to go back to the Complete Richard Higgins memo that came out in May of 2017. Richard Higgins wrote the memo, the President of the United States and Political Warfare. So I want to just take a portion of that and share that with you before we close. One of the things that Richard Higgins points out was political warfare, and he gives a primer on it. As used here, political warfare does not concern activities associated with the American political process, but rather exclusively refers to political warfare as understood by the Maoist insurgency model. Political warfare is one of the five components of a Maoist insurgency. Maoist methodologies employ synchronized violent and nonviolent actions that focus on mobilization of individuals and groups to action. This approach envisions the direct use of nonviolent operational arts and tactics as elements of combat power. In Maoist insurgencies, the formation of a counterstate is essential to seizing state power, functioning as a hostile competing state acting within an existing state. It has an alternate infrastructure. Political warfare operates as one of the activities of the counterstate and is primarily focused on the resourcing and mobilization of the counterstate, or the exhaustion and demobilization of the targeted political movement. Political warfare methods can be implemented at strategic, operational, or tactical levels of operation. Political warfare is warfare. Strategic information campaigns designed to delegitimize through disinformation arise out of nonviolent lines of effort in political warfare regimes. They principally operate through narratives, because the left is aligned with Islamist organizations at local, national, and international levels. Recognition should be given to the fact that they seamlessly interoperate through coordinated, synchronized, interactive narratives. Now, cultural Marxism, a primer. While the attacks on President Trump arise out of political warfare considerations based on non-kinetic lines of effort, they operate in a battle space prepared, informed, and conditioned by cultural Marxist drivers. In practical terms, the political warfare assault on President Trump cannot be separated from the cultural Marxist narratives that drive them. From an operational preparation of the environment perspective, President Trump is operating in a battle space that reflects the left's vision. As used in this discussion, cultural Marxism relates to programs and activities that arise out of Gramsci Marxism, Fabian socialism, and most directly from the Frankfurt School. The Frankfurt strategy deconstructs societies through attacks on culture by imposing a dialectic that forces unresolvable contradictions under the rubric of critical theory. The result is induced nihilism, a belief in everything that is actually the belief in nothing. And I hope you really paid attention to that last part, because that is a great summary of where we are right now in this political warfare that's taking place. This is why we have the communist revolutionary thugs on the streets that are justifying their actions because they feel compelled to use force to impose justice to correct the injustices. But see, what this dialectic does is force unresolvable contradictions under the rubric of critical theory. The result is induced nihilism, a belief in everything that is actually the belief in nothing. And that is what has brought us to the point. This is so well articulated. This is what it has brought us to a point where Antifa thugs will run down, capture, and beat a homosexual Asian man almost to death while calling him a white supremacist while they're doing it. So there is no reconciling this situation that we're in, because there is an ever-shifting set of values and morals that you can never pin down. It's a moving target. And so this is very calculated. And Richard Higgins, as you know, he is an expert in irregular warfare, unconventional warfare. And we're talking at the strategic level of like toppling governments and replacing them with other regimes. And he's an expert in this. And he was on President Trump's staff, and he wrote what became known as the Richard Higgins memo, warning this administration of the coup that was underway. This is an attack on our country to undermine the executive branch of the United States government. This is a war. We're at war now. So pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for wisdom and discernment and for courage, and stay the course, stay strong, and keep the faith. Until we talk next week, you guys stay safe. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.